You are listening to the iFanboy.com Pick a Week podcast, episode 353, brought to you by Seagate GoFlex Satellite, New York Comic Con, and iFanboy listeners like you. iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 353. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Whatevs.
And Ron Richards.
Whatever.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Yep.
Meh. At iFanboy.com, we like comics, we read comics, or we're ambivalent.
Depending on
the week. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best book they read, writes about it on the website, we talk about it on the podcast, along with the other books of the week and other topics of interest. Mostly related to comics, but this week we're talking all about Nixon.
So deal with it.
Before we get to the show,
I'm sorry. And we're starting with the 50s.
Which, yeah, sure. Right. There's no way you can't talk about Nixon without starting in the 50s.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. That makes more sense.
Before we get to the show, quick reminder and a warning: this is a review show, so we're going to spoil it. We're going to talk about spoilers. Like, was there anything that spoiled? Oh, Captain America's a president. So be careful if you haven't read the books yet. Come back and, you know, whatever. Ron has the pick.
Right. I'm disappointed you didn't take the bait there, Connor. You skipped right over it, unfortunately.
I'm a professional, Ron.
You are. Anyway, so
I'm going to read the next one verbatim the next time I get it. I just, whatever's on there, I'm saying.
You're Ron Burgundy-ing it.
For those playing at home, we're talking about our script bombs. Connor narrowly avoided one. I thought I would have got him because Connor tends not to improvise. Have you noticed that? He tends to – you're normally a straight read, so that's why I thought I could get you.
Yeah, and I can't not.
If you saw my face, you would see I'm not even doing the read off the screen though. I'm just redoing it from memory.
Because you're a pro.
I'm a pro. I've been doing this for fucking 7 years.
Anyway, paint a picture. Santa Ynez, 1913.
Oh, Nixon. Anyway, so
pick of the week, for the book Pick of the Week title. Let's go.
Pick of the Week. I was relieved to have a fairly, as far as in my world, light week this week. And I was even more delighted, though, when I saw that it was a week that The Little Depressed Boy was coming out. Little Depressed Boy number 13, written by Steven Struble and drawn by Cena Grace. This is a book I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast here and there, like when the Childish Gambino issue and stuff like that. I've been loving this book because it fills the empty hole in my heart that is needed for a good old comic about relationships and people and love and all that fun emo stuff. Because, you know, while I think a lot of you out there know me through this show and through my public, you know, Twitters and stuff like that, Josh and Connor can attest that I'm a pretty emo kid. I have no shame.
No qualms. You have no problem.
I'm sorry. Can I just interrupt for a second? I just looked it up, and Richard Nixon actually was born in 1913. That was just a guess.
Wow.
Sorry.
Good job.
I'm sorry. I was so excited. I couldn't. Go ahead. Emo.
So,
yep.
So yeah, so I've got no shame around my emo thing, and I feel bad for the term emo because it really got a bad rap in the early 2000s with all the eyeliner bands like that. But
How could it's not like anybody we know propagated that joke. So that somebody talking about it right now here is a giant hypocrite. But carry on.
Still, yeah, maybe
giant.
I'm sorry. How could I have known? But emo comes up, but I don't want that to take away from The Little Depressed Boy, which is basically just a story of this guy. He happens to be a little ragdoll, but I think that's more about the interpretation of his own self-image and that sort of thing.
That's how it feels on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. But he's this little guy who's just trying to get by in life. He's got, you know, he's working a crappy job at a movie theater, and you know, he's had some past loves that didn't work out. He, you know, the first major arc of this book was around him liking a girl and then finding out that she had a boyfriend and dealing with that. But now we're here. He's met a new girl, and this issue. Captures that magical moment in any young couple's life or any couple's life of the first date. And I thought that Struble and Grace took a great approach with it. The issue opens up with like kind of a dream sequence where LDB, as we like to call him, is kind of reflecting on the past and his past. Like there's a girl there who asked him, like, how come we never talked? You know, or that, you know, or him saying to another girl is like, oh, I figured you'd never be interested. You wouldn't be interested. You know, then he kind of revisits the more recent girl who has the boyfriend. And it's kind of like the, you know, reflecting on the failures around love. And that's sort of a self-assessment that I think a lot of us do before we embark on a new kind of situation. And then goes out on a date with the new girl whose name's Spike, who he works with at the movie theater. And in just the span of four pages where they captured the date, I thought that both in terms of storytelling and in terms of, you know, the dialogue, stuff like that, really captured the inherent awkwardness. And you're trying to be polite. He opens the door for her to the restaurant, you know, but then they're having a nice conversation. You can see they're gaining momentum and making jokes and sharing stuff and things like that. And then, you know, the walk home, well, I guess he drives her home or she drives him home. I'm not quite sure exactly where they are, but they go outside. And Cena Grace with the art really does a great job of capturing the quiet moments and the silence. You see their hands kind of come close to holding hands, but not quite. You know, they talk about how they had a good time. Then there's just this panel of just nothing. And then, of course, little depressed boy just goes, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. Totally chickens out. And like as I'm reading it, I just go, ah, no. But then lucky enough, the girl says, you know, you can kiss me. And he goes, oh, yeah. And then he gets a 2-page spread of them kissing. And it's like, yay. And finally, the guy gets the girl. And that's awesome. But what's great about Little Depressed Boy is it's tapping into that relationship comic. What's the momentum or, you know, kind of pace in a serialized version. So like while that this could have been the whole issue, they didn't just leave it at that. And we deal with the aftermath where he goes back to work and then realizes that because she's technically his boss, while she's into him, nobody can know. It's got to be a secret or they'll both lose their jobs. So while this is a great issue, it ends with Little Depressed Boy being frowny because the girl he likes who actually likes him, now it's got to be a secret. And
that's sometimes hot.
Technically, only she can get fired. He can sue.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, they theater. I feel like it's just kind of like they would just fire him, you know.
Yeah, but
then he would go back and sue.
Yeah. And then anyway, he was
taken advantage of.
Either way, it's a dicey situation.
I'm sorry. This part of the conversation is actually more interesting than the comic book was, so I was trying to steer it away. Oh shit!
Josh, did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Did you not like it?
No, not really. I mean, it was fine for what it was. I'm not all that nostalgic for this. I feel like I've seen lots of things that did this thing better. For a person like me,
That's fair. I mean, and yeah, I mean, I know you like Box Office Poison, which I liked, which I think did it as well. And the thing, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but right now it's that aside from webcomics and aside from, you know, but in terms of stuff being published, it's just a drought of these kind of books.
I think that this is about what I refer to as the Kevin Arnold syndrome.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm utterly and completely sick of reading because the point has been made 100 times over. And I know that every time somebody has to get this part out of them, and it was very sincere and it was very, we'll call it emotionally truthful.
Yes.
I think. But I just wasn't interested in it. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm a crabby old parent, maybe, you know, whatever. But the Kevin Arnold syndrome, when the person is like, I don't want to say the thing. And I just like, all right, I get it. This is for younger people than me or people who have a different joy in their heart.
And like you mentioned, the honesty and the sincerity that of which Struble's writing, that's one of the things that got me about it, is that I feel like this book is very real, you know, aside from him being a ragdoll.
If you know what it felt like? It felt like an early student film. It's totally raw and emotional, but if you saw it 10 years after you made it, you'd cower in the corner than anybody else would have ever seen that.
Maybe.
I've been thinking about my student films lately and just how much I would not want to see them anymore.
I think you have turned a corner into Crabby Old Man in Ireland.
Yeah. What did you think?
Oh, I didn't read it.
Okay. But so now where I'm coming from, I tend to be, you know, I'm a bit of a sappy, hopeless romantic, and I totally fall for these sort of things, and I just love it. And every time this book comes out, I just have a great time with it. So this one particularly, you know, like it. And I thought that it's been great to see Cena Grace kind of grow as an artist, and you know that double page spread was really nice, and was really well done. I thought the pacing was, you know, the storytelling is, you know, is clean and clear, and I think that he's getting visually getting across Struble's intentions and emotions, which is not an easy thing to do in terms of with pacing and storytelling. So, yeah. So it's
I would say that my complaints, to be fair, are entirely subjective. Like, I don't have a problem with the book. It did what it was trying to do fine. I'm not the audience for it, I suppose, anymore. But no, you're right. Like, there was definitely a quality to it. It just reminded me of like an Adrian Tamine kind of book. And I never even liked those back in my 20s.
Like those. So, all right.
So sad.
So, Little Depressed Boy, check it out. There's two trades out currently of this current run. And then it's got a long history of being a webcomic. So you can go check that out. But I enjoy it. If you like that sort of thing, if you're a sappy romantic, if you're not a cold, dead inside like Connor and Josh.
Hey, I just didn't read it. I like those stories.
True.
not cold and dead inside. I'm full of joy and wonder.
All right, so that said, it's time to dive back into the DC Zero issues bin, and I do have to admit that Justice League number Zero was a real close contender to the pick of the week.
What's great, though, are all the people who wanted to get a Justice League book. Because this may have had that on the cover, but that was not what was inside, regardless of the quality of the content.
That is true.
I'm fine with that.
Because we already had the Zero story for Justice League. That was Justice League number one. Yeah. And this is the character that takes place in the backup.
From what we've seen, he's clearly going to now get involved in the main Justice League story, so it's going to merge back into it. So it somewhat makes sense. But this is just the continuation of the backup story that's been going on in Justice League.
Yeah.
That said, I think it is a crime that they relegated this to the backup story, because this Geoff Johns, Gary Frank, Shazam story has been probably the most compelling thing I've read at DC in a while.
Well, what do you want it to come out? Because that's how you're going to get it. Otherwise, it's not going to come out.
Yeah. He's right, because it wouldn't sell.
No, not that. Because Gary Frank can't do a monthly book. Plus, he's doing
that too.
Plus, he's doing Batman Earth 1 Volume 2. So all you can get out of him is the five or so pages you get a month in the backup. So if you want the story to continue monthly, then you get it in the backup.
Well, I'll tell you something about this, though, that occurred to me, is this felt like Geoff Johns.
Yes.
For the first time in a long time.
Agreed.
Whatever it was that, you know, it's been a few years since I read something that felt like the kind of Geoff Johns that I really liked. And this felt like that.
It felt like JSA Geoff Johns, yeah.
Yes, it did. It totally did. And I think that he's got something with these characters that works really well. And that was fun.
This tapped into the JSA stuff. This tapped into the early Green Lantern stuff. This tapped into, it's like whatever magic he's able to do with igniting these characters, he captured it again here with Shazam. Yeah.
And my only negative would be, and this is going to come up later and for a different book, that the just atrocious character redesigns continue with Captain Marvel, Shazam, with the bizarre chest thing going on behind the lightning shield and the weird boots. Just this is, I'm going to go into more depth later, but this, I mean, the only negative I can think of with this issue, which was great.
Well, and one question I have about the issue is that, did they give Ethan Van Sciver a cover credit for just doing did he do the cover art?
No, that's Frank.
So then what did he do?
I don't know.
He didn't do
the backup. Is that a backup? No.
I don't know why his name's on the cover.
He's the artist on the backup.
Oh yeah, he did the question backup.
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh, I can't even tell. Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't look like him, huh?
Like him at all. Anyway, so Justice League number Zero, I just loved it just because I like the Shazam stuff, so I thought it was really good.
I thought on the whole this was one of the stronger Zero weeks. I thought Nightwing was one of the best ones I read, again, with the horrible design costumes. What's really funny is because now that they've changed everyone's costume, no one seems to know what the original Robin suit looked like, so every time you see it, the costume is completely different, including this one, which it's mind-boggling. I thought Supergirl was fun.
Supergirl was a lot of fun, and actually made me think that I was sort of talking to you guys about this, but like I like to read this every once in a while. I don't really want to read Supergirl every month. It's not a thing that I'm going to do, but to read like one story, like it's one of the things that's been fun about these Zero issues is that I've sort of gone back and like, oh, that was good. I read that. You know, it doesn't make me want to read it forever, but I really like Mahmoud Asra's art. Yeah. And boy, they've really come a long way in making Krypton the most horrible place to have lived ever. Like, it's just everything is about just how awful it is there.
Yeah. It's not utopian.
Mark's better off.
I thought Wonder Woman number Zero was fantastic.
I loved it, but I thought it would be very polarizing. I guess it didn't end up happening. When I read it early on Wednesday, I thought, wow, people are going to either love or hate this, but I didn't really see much complaint about it.
The first couple pages, I thought I wasn't going to like it, and then I really did. I thought it really got her character really well, and I liked that they made it a little silly, and I liked the design of War a whole lot.
Yeah. Conversely, I was a little disappointed by Batwoman number zero.
God, stop talking.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and honestly, it seemed. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I love J.H. Williams's art. I think it's great. But after being weaned on the amazing layouts and everything that he does, going with a more traditional, just panel based thing, I was just like, well, this seems a little flat.
Well, he does that in the flashbacks. That's what he's always done. Even with Rucka, the crazy layouts are only for when she's Batgirl.
Yeah.
When she's Kate. It's just a standard Mazzucchelli style art and layouts. I love the page where they merged, where she was drawn, or Kate was drawn as Mazzucchelli style, and Batman shows up in the painted style, which I thought was a great way to merge the two.
I was reading it for a while, and I was like, hey, this dialogue is a lot better than I remember it the last time I was reading it. And then I was just like, and there is a lot of it. I just felt like it could have been edited down a little bit, because it was like, and then there was the time that this in extreme detail, and then there's this in extreme detail, and it felt a little superfluous. But I really like his simple style. It's gorgeous. It's so nice.
The DC Universe Presents Zero story opens with an OMAC story from the original creative team entitled Origins Matter After Cancellation.
I just love, who are the sales geniuses behind this one? Hey, there are all these books that no one bought and we got canceled. Let's make an extra expensive issue with all of them in it.
Well, Robinson wrote the Mr. Terrific storyline, which is going to tie directly into Earth 2, which was great. I skipped over the Hawk and Dove, Rob Liefeld story, and I skipped over the... I'm sorry. I called him in like Voldemort.
Yeah.
And then Blackhawks I sort of skimmed. So I really was in it for the first two stories. But you're right. I mean, I think it's a dicey proposition. But
I want to see the books on this at the end. Like, did this book make a profit?
Yeah.
Well, six bucks, so they have to sell less of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So when we did our Light Week post earlier in the week, I said, hey, you know, I'm gonna walk the walk, and I'm going to try a book I normally wouldn't try. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was Sword of Sorcery featuring Amethyst.
So
plus Beowulf.
Is this a toy line that I don't know about?
It certainly seemed like it, didn't it?
It really does. And I think that might have been one of the reasons I had fun reading it.
I actually had a blast.
I had a ton of like fun just, reading this issue. I'm totally buying
it. It just felt like, I was like, this feels like my childhood. We're going to come up with a storyline, then we are going to sell you some goddamn purple action figures.
It really did. Oh, man. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I thought, you know, Christy Marks did a good job writing it.
And, she comes from animation. I thought the story was fun. I thought the mythology around it was fun. I thought the art from Aaron Lopresti was great, and I loved the backup.
Yeah, I thought it was a great issue. I thought it was $3.99 well spent from my Light Week. So
the backup art looked kind of like Sean Murphy in places. That first shot of the kid on the horse.
Yeah,
his face just looks like from Joe the Barbarian. But I liked the backup story a lot.
See that? Yeah, I could totally see that. Speaking of Sean Murphy, I caught up on Punk Rock Jesus, and I agree with you guys that last issue was great. But I also realized after reading Joe the Barbarian and now Punk Rock Jesus is that young boys that he just draws, they're all the same faces. Yeah. But they're still great. But still, anyway.
Did either of you read New Guardians, Green Lantern?
No.
The thing that's worth noting is the art is by Aaron Cooter, who's very much a quietly influenced artist.
And while I noticed the cover.
The cover's by Guillaume March, but while he's not there yet, he's still kind of
on the way.
I think some of the panels look very quietly esque, very interesting. Some of them were rough, but he looks like he's an up and comer to watch out for.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. So any other Zero issues we're talking about? Or?
Catwoman was terrible.
Just
terrible.
Shocking.
The Red Hood and the Outlaws, did you guys read that one?
Nope.
The reveal on that one was that the Joker decided that Batman needed a new Robin, so he instigated Jason Todd becoming the new Robin. It was
He just called the 900 number a lot?
He manipulated events, yes. He manipulated the events to make Jason Todd the new Robin. It was dumb. But
Of course. Of course.
But on the whole, I thought the week was strong in Zero issues. We have one more week? I guess we have two more weeks?
So continuing the theme of themed issues, let's dive into the Ultimate Universe over at Marvel.
Yeah, On the one hand, I was like, hey, they kind of spoiled this story for me. But on the other hand, I wouldn't have read The Ultimates had it not been spoiled for me, I guess. Because I was like, how are they going to do this business?
Yeah.
And I kind of remembered what was fun about The Ultimates, because I don't really stick with it that much, is that it really does feel like, fuck it. Let's just do some crazy shit. And they're certainly in the midst of that right now.
Yeah, well,
I kind of like it.
This whole Divided We Fall event, and then that's moving into this United We Stand event, really, you know, like crazy shit, like the country becoming fractured and like all this stuff. And it's been – I've been reading all the titles. And it's been interesting because on one hand, I think it's been successful because like you could read Ultimate Spider-Man and not be bogged down by the event.
Right.
On the other hand, you could read Ultimates and X-Men and it's just all over the map. It's all over the place, like in crazy shit and moving too fast and stuff like that. But I agree with you. Now we got to the end of this and I was like, and now they announced that Captain America is going to become president.
He gets a phone call. Oh, you were elected president. I was like, I do not think it works like that.
No, exactly. But who cares? I feel like Ultimates.
No, I know. Exactly.
Yeah. Ron, did you ever get that? What if Captain America was elected president? What if?
Yeah, of course.
That's one of the classic ones.
They're all classics. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think he's got time for it.
Well, I think it's funny because I actually hung out with Sam Humphries a couple weeks ago, and he tipped me off that this was coming. And it sounds like he's not going to have time. For, like it's what he told me from the story coming. It's going to be very interesting because he's apparently going to keep on being Captain America, which is like
I don't think you can do that and also be President of the United States.
I know. So it'll be interesting.
To be fair, he did not ask for the job. Well, I did not seek, nor will I accept. That's why Captain America is just like Lyndon Johnson.
So, but what did Nixon
that
think?
His
who was by the way the predecessor to Richard Milhouse Nixon?
Yes. I didn't read that one, but I read Spider-Man, which for me, I think David Marquez is really starting to come up into his own.
Great. You're not kidding.
When he first started, I was a little iffy on it. I missed Pacelli, but he's really growing quickly over these last couple of issues, and I thought this was a really compelling issue again. Finally, they addressed the fact that the world is falling apart. Let's cancel school.
Yeah. I like the fact that I was just thinking about it, and other than like a what if or a little mini series here or there, we've never seen a story where somebody else gets to be Spider-Man for a long time. And I know that like Green Lantern's done it, and some others have. Yeah. But I like the connection in this one a lot, and I think the book dipped a little bit when he was like stuck with his uncle the whole time, and now they're kind of past that, and we can get back to learning how to be Spider-Man and having fun with it, which I think is much more attractive.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Spider-Man number 5 wrapped up this event this week and closed the portal between 616 and the Ultimate Universe, and as predicted. When this is a trade, this is going to be a nice little fun little story.
This was
read.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think this whole story was amazing. Wow. This is one of the best things Bendis has written in a while.
Yeah.
It hit all the emotional beats you want to hit. This issue featured less action than I thought it would, but it makes sense in the context of the story in that it's mostly about these two characters. And the relationship between Peter and Miles was great. And then the cliffhanger is what happened to Miles in the regular Marvel universe. Something did because Peter Googled him and has a shocked reaction. So I thought this was wonderful. If you haven't read this mini, you need to check out the trade when it comes out. Because if you're a fan of Bendis' Spider-Man or Ultimate Spider-Man, it's a must read.
Yeah, and I think – and it was funny because I was really thinking about it for a couple hours. And I was thinking that I didn't even mean to, but then I went with it. And I was wondering whether this needed to be a mini series or could have happened in the pages. And like I was just kind of – you know, I was not – you know, I was just open box thinking, blue skying.
Right.
And
sure.
And
did you find a hill somewhere?
Exactly.
Blue sky.
Exactly. Thinking, you know, how much fun would this have been if this was in Ultimate and in Amazing? It was a crossover versus it being the condensed. You know, and I like the fact that it's okay, that it was a contained thing and it's going to be one little trade and it exists kind of in between both books issues and it can fit in anywhere. And it worked. It was an experiment that I know got a lot of criticism, but at the end of it, it totally worked.
At the end of the day, the story was great and that's really all that matters.
Kelly just destroyed. She was just great. She was, and I love the end when Peter's walking through the portal and he's giving Miles all the advice he can, and he gets cut off. I was like, what did he say?
Don't let anyone clone you.
Yeah. That was very funny.
Never let Wolverine or Mockingbird any money. Yeah, this was Bendis really knowing his characters really well and writing basically a 5-issue character piece between the two of them.
Yeah, so good stuff, really good stuff. Well, speaking of Bendis, and I nearly lost it with Avengers number 30 because I thought that we were going to get our answer.
Oh.
So this issue was drawn by Walt Simonson and basically focused on Hawkeye and Spider-Woman. And honestly, I'll give Bendis credit. It addresses a question that I have thought of, which is, what are the villains doing during Avengers vs. X-Men?
Right.
And honestly, there should have been, I think, a little more paid to this, or I guess you can only do so much. But in under the guise of Hawkeye and Spider-Woman dealing with Mr. Negative trying to get the Red Skull's mech warriors from the –
I'm in this? Sorry. Thank you.
They're of course, you know, working through their relationship problems, and Spider-Woman reveals she's mad because apparently Scarlet Witch mentioned something about she and Hawkeye having something. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh my God, are we going to find out what's in the closet?
We didn't. This issue made me laugh a bunch of times. I mean, I don't know if it was just the mood I was in. I was looking for comedy, but this was basically a guy and a girl who were dating, having a giant argument in the middle of fighting a bunch of criminals. And I loved Hawkeye in the middle of it going, can you guys believe this? Talking to the Mr. Negative's thugs. And I loved the background fight Thor had when they showed up at the end and they're all sort of talking to Hawkeye, and in the background Thor punches a dude.
Yep.
It was just a lot of little touches that made me laugh.
Good. Like, it honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't totally matter. You know
no,
what I mean?
Not at all.
This might be an issue because it had some Madam Hydra stuff and there was some, you know, kind of seeding stuff and things like that. But, you know, but it was a fun little breather, I think, from the melodrama.
Totally
maybe.
Fun. Totally fun. Yep, and I'm sure it's setting up Hydra to be the next, because she's clearly collecting lots of weaponry. So that's setting things up for the future. But I liked it.
But I will. I mean, honestly, Brian Michael Bendis, if you're listening, or if anybody's listening, can tell if before he sets sail after the Avengers, the closet. You got to answer.
How much money are you willing to put up for the answer to the closet?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's really a money thing. Does he really need money? No. I mean,
can you kickstart that?
That's a good idea. Anyway, I'll think of what I'd be willing to give up to find out what's in the closet. He doesn't even have to put it in the comic. Just tell me.
Right. In the meantime,
you tell us.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool.
The Seagate GoFlex satellite is the only wireless portable hard drive that streams content to your iPad and up to 8 other devices. It's got a 500 gigabyte Wi-Fi access. The 500 gigabyte is the storage size. Wi-Fi access and a rechargeable battery. Satellite can carry your entire library of video, music, pictures, and documents to be shared on your iPad or Android tablet via the free GoFlex Media app or your web browser. You can check it all out at seagate.com/ifanboy.
Yes, and thank you for sponsoring this episode, Seagate. So I was reading Daredevil number 18, right? And you know, I've been a little down on it a little recently, but I was going with it. I love Somni, Wade and Somni are doing good Rocketeer. So I'm reading.
They're doing two ongoing series same right time. Now.
I think Rocketeer's a mini. But
suck that, other artists.
And then Daredevil got to, you know, and the story's continuing, and the Foggy Matt Murdock fight is good, and you know, we got a new case.
Exactly where you're going here.
And then yep, it gets. Yep. And I get to a point in the story, and I literally sat back and went, whoa.
That's not the reaction I had.
Anyone no. tell me?
Mine was...
Stay away from this character?
Mine was a Darth Vader-esque no.
Oh!
Yeah.
Mila's back.
She needs to be like that sister from the first episode of Weeds who they disappeared.
Or the brother from Happy Days who went upstairs and came down again.
It did not happen.
I think this is a mistake. We've been saying this for a while, the hints of darkness, and clearly that's a story Wade wants to tell, fine, good for him, but the hints of darkness that they're bringing back in is not what I want in Daredevil.
They had it. The first 6 issues or whatever, they had it, and he's fallen back into it. They're falling back into the trap.
Yeah.
And I don't want to prejudge it because I know Wade is great and this book is great and we'll see where it goes with it. But as soon as I saw Mila, I was like, oh God, no, too soon.
Any time is too soon.
Yeah, there's no enough time.
Yeah,
there will not be.
Oh, fuck Mila. All right, Godzilla: The Half Century War from James Stokoe.
It just felt like reading. I felt like I was reading Orkstein, and it made me very happy.
I feel like I should be reading this because I love Stokoe and I'm not reading it. So.
You should be reading it. It's ridiculous, but it looks like, you know, he had to make it just a little more realistic, but not really. It's just a dude whose job is to fight Godzilla, and they can't win because he's Godzilla. Okay. And this one took place in the middle of the Vietnam conflict.
Cool.
Again, I just want to point out Nixon's connection with this.
You know what's funny is we didn't pre-plan this joke, and yet Here he is showing up throughout the show in contextually appropriate ways.
A lot of people a lot of people underestimate the cultural effect of Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Well, we're not even talking about any before Watchmen books, and I think that, you know, I don't even need to say that.
Did you guys see that Sienkiewicz is the new inker for Night Owl?
Yes, yeah, I did. We did. Yeah,
which is a good choice.
Wow,
which is a great choice. Yeah, yeah. So
wow,
yeah,
they're really putting some gorgeous lipstick on a pig there.
They really are.
I mean, I won't even read the words in the book, but there's a big sex scene in the middle of it.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that much.
All right. So Batman Beyond Unlimited number 8 and Young Justice number 20, similar in that they're both based on the DC cartoon world. Both great books. Young Justice 20 was my pick of the week. Batman Beyond Unlimited featured some more wonderful. I talked about this series before. I made it a pick of the week a few months ago. It's a great jaunt back into the Timverse animated universe. And what I thought after reading these two back to back, it made me really angry because, well, I guess not angry, but annoyed that one of the things, and I've been a fan of the DC reboot. I'm enjoying a good portion of the line, but there's also a lot that they've done really wrong. And these books have encapsulated what they should have done. They should have gone simpler. They should have not gone more complicated, which is what they did. And not just in the character designs, but just in the basic stories, the continuities, the characters. They should have stripped away and gone simpler and more accessible, as opposed to making it convoluted and complex. And if you read Young Justice 20, this is better than any Teen Titans book you're going to read in the reboot. It's better than any maybe teen book you're going to read in the reboot. These are simple design character designs that are true to the, you know, the sort of the feeling of the characters, but still looking different. These are simple characterizations that aren't, not simple childlike, but they're not overly complicated. They just tell great stories with these characters, great emotional beats, big action. And you're not going to get this in the other books because they're full of all this needless crap. And that doesn't just include the random lines and all the characters that are there now. It just sort of annoyed me that this is where they should have gone. You've got an area of media where your characters are really popular with millions of people. Not in the comics. It's in the cartoons, and they should have gone towards the cartoons, which is what they should have done, made much better comics. But they didn't, so there you go.
Well, all right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I remembered to buy Dark Avengers for the last two issues, which I think come out weekly now.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I still think that there's – I feel like it was an unfinished story that came from Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
What is the story? Because we haven't talked about it because you haven't bought it.
There's two stories going on, basically. There's the old Thunderbolts team that's like in are they in the present?
No, they're in the near future.
Right, they're in the near future because they're both weird wastelands, so I couldn't remember which was which. And then there's the new Dark Avengers team, which are the present, but it's also very weird, and they're all fighting. And there's two stories going on, and I kind of don't care about one of them. I'm very impressed by the sort of imagination and world building in both of them.
Yeah,
I have no doubt, but I don't have any connection to the other characters because it's just
I was reading this and I was just thinking they were on a really good momentum and then it's going a little off the rails.
Yeah, and I think that the scripts are fine, but the part of the magic of the book was the art on it. I think between Kev Walker and Declan Shalvey, you had a really great book and it was all working together. And this art, while it wasn't bad, it just wasn't. You know, wasn't what it was before.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a fan of Neil Edwards. So
yeah, you know, it just doesn't. It, you know, for a little while, you know, Thunderbolts was right up there. Every issue was like, wow, they're doing great stuff here, and they railroaded it. Yep. And it's clear that that's what happened, and it makes me. You know, I'm trying to enjoy it, but it's a little tough.
They sent to prison unjustly.
Say?
They said they railroaded the book.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
is that what that metaphor means? Did I blow it?
To railroad somebody means to unjustly prosecute or convict.
Oh yeah, no, that is what happened.
Who brought Mitch Pileggi?
Well, the thing is, I mean, it sucks, but the sales weren't there.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely understand it. But it's weird that then they just dressed it up differently. And they were like, well, do it slightly differently. And by doing so, what they did was lose the people who did really like it. And I can't imagine that the Dark Avengers people are like, oh, this is what we wanted.
Yeah, go back to that one issue 175, when they talked to the original Thunderbolts team. That was like the pinnacle of how great it was.
Yeah, that's what I was reading it too.
Because Thunderbolts was really good.
Yeah, Thunderbolts is great. You
know, and it was great. It got that right, that sort of Thunderbolts team right for the first time, I think, in a long time. Where there have been stories that have been good, but it didn't really feel like Thunderbolts necessarily. And it sounds like going forward, it's definitely not going to feel like Thunderbolts because now the Punisher's on the fucking team.
Yeah.
Actually, Josh, I think you were correct. One of the definitions of railroading is to press someone to doing something they don't want to do by coercion.
There you go.
Similar to Nixon's aides.
Similar to what Nixon did.
Well, G. Gordon Liddy, I think everyone can agree, Yeah. It was railroaded many ways.
So those are the books that we read and felt that were worthy of talking about this week. Go to ifanboy.com/comics and you can see all the books that came out. You can do your pull list. You can come back and rate them and review them and make your pick of the week. And we want to highlight the top five picks of the week from the iFanboy universe, the community out there. These are the books that you said were your picks of the week. And coming in at number five was Spider-Man number five with 4% of the picks of the week. Number four from Image Comics was Peter Panzerfaust number six with 5.3% of the picks of the week. That keeps rolling along.
Great issue. That was a great issue this week.
Yeah, it was a good issue.
Although I have a problem with it, but I'm not going to get to it.
All right. Well, anyway. Not enough Nixon, right?
Well, okay, here it is. The problem is, did you guys read it?
I got halfway and then got
well, the opening scene, the guy's talking to the kids about the war.
Yeah.
Which he's looks like he's 45, and apparently that scene takes place in the modern day times.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. Number three is Daredevil number 18 with 8% of the picks of the week. Coming in at number two was Wonder Woman number zero at 23.5%. And the number one book, according to the iFanboy community, at the time of recording is Justice League number zero with 33.4%. On to the reviews. Josh, why don't you take this one away?
Zombie Poo said of Fables 121, giving the story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5 with a pick of the week percentage of 1.6%, which could be more or less than Little Depressed Boy. I'm not sure. Hey, do you remember Fables? You know, that book you talked your mom and girlfriend and your wife into reading, then got all caught up in AVX and DC's New 52 and totally forgot about? Well, it's still coming out every month, and it hasn't lost a step. This is the final part of an 8-issue freakout taking place in creepy Toyland. Basically, the queen of Toyland finally gets her act together and many evil toys making up for the past atrocities. Great art by Buckingham and McManus, including heartfelt redemption and flying monkeys going on murderous rampages. Doesn't that sound swell?
Flying monkeys are always fun.
I've left Fables before, and I've ended up going back. It might be fun to read a bunch of them.
You dropped Fables.
I dropped Fables like a year ago.
My girlfriend dropped it recently. She's been one of the biggest Fables supporters I know, and she says it's just not been good.
Connor, did she drop it like it's hot?
She dropped and set it on fire. I thought that was a little overdoing it.
Yeah.
But she didn't have to say anything because that would have just been too on the nose.
Yeah. So, but she loves it. She got the trades, but she said it's been bad since issue 100. So
that reminds me of Nixon's trip to China. I think really closing
Nixon
the gap between
could go to China. Only Josh could drop Fables. All right, Psycho Josh Dredd review.
Can you tell I have only the most tenuous grip on the Nixon history?
Catwoman, you just hit the highlights. Catwoman number zero. I saw Nixon once at a Met game in 1980. I think. 4 or 5 when I was a kid.
Yeah. Was he flustered?
No, he was sitting right by the dugout. That was his old seats, if you recall, Ron. Yeah, a friend of mine had behind the plate seats from his dad, and we went to the game, and there was Nixon.
I just like flustered Nixon.
why isn't he changing out the pitcher? He's clearly tired.
Psycho Judge Dredd reviewed Catwoman number zero, which we talked about briefly. He gave the story 1 out of 5 and the art a 3 out of 5, and no one made this a pick of the week. And Psycho Judge Dredd said... But by the way, good prescient name for this week.
Yeah.
Psycho Judge Dredd said, I can't think of another issue where Catwoman was done so wrong. This is pretty much one of the worst comics ever written. Not to beat around the bush, the issue is garbage. Even worse, the issue ends with this terrible origin still unresolved, and the solicit for issue 13 says, the true origin of Selina Kyle revealed. So we've got more of this to look forward to.
And Psycho Judge Dredd said a lot more. That's just a snippet from his review, but in it there's a passion plea to Ann Nocenti to stop.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't very good. I agree. I wouldn't say it's the worst comic I've ever written, but I've read a lot of bad comics, but it was not very good.
Someone recently gave us credit for the amount of patience that we must have in reading comics, reading the amount of comics that we read.
They don't have any idea.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but I don't think I should be given that much credit.
No, you shouldn't. Connor and me definitely deserve it, though.
Yeah.
So
I have no patience for it. I'm not reading this. It's bad.
All right, so we hope to see everyone at the New York Comic Con, which is coming up. It's right around the corner. We want to thank them for sponsoring this episode. From October 11th to 14th at the Jacob Javits Center in Old New York, our old stomping grounds, we will be returning to our hometown.
Old New York, do we get to dress up like old-timey gangsters and have fights in the Five Points?
Yes, Connor, that's what we're doing. Didn't you get the email?
Giant top hats?
Yep, top hats. Awesome. I'm growing out my mustache. It's going to be great.
Josh?
Challenge accepted.
If you are
whoopsie daisy, who is this under my knife?
If you're planning on going to New York Comic Con, you will see such great comics luminaries as Brian K. Vaughan, Rick Remender, Jeff Johns, Ivan Reis, Jonathan Hickman, Mark Waid, Kieran Gillen, Mike Mignola, Scott Snyder, and a ton more. Go to NewYorkComicCon.com. You can see all the comic guests they have. They're all a lot of people are going to be there. If you're into the TV and movies people, they've got a ton of entertainment media guests there, including the great Bill Paxton, Adam West and Burt Ward, Christopher Lloyd, Elmo from Sesame Street, David Wayne, Rob Corddry, Paul Scheer, if comedy's your thing, and of course Sean Astin will be there.
Potatoes.
Yep. So you got that going for you. If you were one of the people who bought the VIP tickets, which are sold out now, but if you buy a 4-day ticket, you can get into the kickoff concert on Thursday, October 11th, where Ben Folds 5 is going to be playing, which is they've kind of seen a resurgence. They had that little Fraggle Rock video, and now they're touring again. So Ben Folds 5 is back and playing New York Comic Con. Wouldn't have predicted that a couple of years ago.
So I predicted that last week.
If you are,
that is a weird email I have just received.
If you are attending, there's still time to get tickets. Go to NewYorkComicCon.com and you can get 4-day passes for $85, 3-day passes for $65. That's good until October 8th, so make sure you buy now. They've also got single-day tickets available, but they're a bit more expensive. Get a deal. Go multiple days. We will be there, like I mentioned. We're returning. We're going to be throwing a party like we did last year. Save the date. Looks like it's going to be Friday, October 12th. More details to come probably this coming week as we firm up. We're just firming up the venue and our special guests and all that sort of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we hope to see you there, and go to NewYorkComicCon.com. Make sure you don't miss it.
Dave has an email as we get into the email section. Dave has a little rant, so strap in. We're going to get going. Dave says, after listening to Ron talk about Cyclops and the raw deal he has gotten over really the past few years and hearing my own feelings echoed, I started to wonder if there was enough fan outrage to spark something like a heat for Hal Jordan. I'm certainly not agitating for that kind of reaction because it was ridiculous even then, but I needed some kind of outlet for my anger. Maybe this email is my eulogy for Cyclops, who has really died on the pages of Avengers vs. X-Men number 11. Joss Whedon's excellent Astonishing X-Men consistently revealed Cyclops as an excellent character, a brilliant tactician, and an all-around great superhero. That is my Cyclops. That's a guy who wasn't even in the running to hold the shield when Captain America died, although I can think of no one more qualified in the Marvel Universe at the time. And yet, we've seen the character slip through desperation into leaving behind Xavier's dream and slowly descend into Magneto territory. It certainly makes dramatic sense to have a character become the thing he's spent years fighting, but oh lord, are we going to have to deal with this? The X-Men and their books were already known for soap operatic melodrama, and Bendis has said that Cyclops killing Xavier was significant in part because he did it in front of everyone, the entire cast of Marvel superheroes. Some of them might forgive him because he was becoming the Dark Phoenix and wasn't himself. Others will be afraid of him. Regardless, the point is, we're going to be hearing about this for years to come. It will hang around this character's neck forever, and it will make a character that was already poorly treated by the writers and the readers even more so, until finally Marvel will be forced to kill him in some kind of redemption death. As much as I hate uncharacteristic actions of Cyclops throughout the years, through Schismen and in this crossover, I am certain it has only led to things I will continue to hate for years. With Spider-Man's Brand New Day, it was like a Band-Aid. I may not like the means, but I do like the end. Once it was done, I was along for the ride, and it was good. I have a feeling that with Cyclops, I'm going to like the ends even less than the means, which I already plainly loathe.
This reminds me, because he was talking about agitating, mm-hmm. and a lot of times Nixon
on the campus agitators.
Yeah, I mean, he would be constantly talking to FBI guy with the white hat,
J. Edgar Hoover,
exactly, mm-hmm. About that. And this is exactly the kind of letter that would get you a file. I think I have thoughts on that. I have actual thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's being a little overbearing about it. Jean Grey is not considered to be a ruined character, and she killed a planet's worth of people when she was Dark Phoenix. So there's your out always there.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. Number one is that I certainly feel his pain, and I certainly agree. I agree that a heat thing is ridiculous. And honestly, I actually, after reading this from Dave, and I was totally relieved last week to see other people. I thought I was going to get eviscerated last week. And
no,
while
you were loved.
Get some people making fun of me and stuff like that, but there's a lot of people who more people than I thought were in somewhat support of what my opinion was on around Cyclops and his handling in AVX.
Well, it's good to know that when the supreme global dictator does come, everyone will just fall right in line.
Stop. But anyway, but to your question, though, the thing is that, you know, there's a good chance that this will hang like an albatross around his neck for years to come. There's a good chance that you're going to get at least the short term period of a Cyclops that you don't like. If my predictions are correct about what they're going to do with the character, which I'll reveal, as we get closer to the new books coming out. But the thing about it is it's just comics, and he's gonna, you know, like what goes around comes around.
Look at Tony Stark from Civil War. It was like, oh, the character's ruined now. He's fine.
Exactly.
He had a really popular movie that helped. I don't think there's gonna be a Cyclops movie.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yep. So I definitely feel the pain, but the thing is that, like, and we're going to go through some dark times for the character, but it's going to take somebody like Whedon to come back. You got to keep in mind, though, and this is where
Whedon's
I keep
not coming back. He's a little busy.
I know, it's somebody coming back that we don't expect, like a Whedon, you know, okay. I mean, like Whedon expect and write this great character, so someone will come out of nowhere and do something with Cyclops that we don't even, some kind of Cyclops I don't even know about.
Right.
But the point I want to make, though, is that let's not forget that the Cyclops that I know and love is the one that Claremont developed and built into the great leader, who also bailed on his wife and newborn child the moment he found out his ex-girlfriend was still alive.
Well, look, his ex-girlfriend was super hot.
No, I know, but he was mad of her.
Realistically, it's not all that much of a stretch to think a guy who's fought for this –
I don't think it's out of character at all. I think he's taken it to the extreme.
To be an ardent supporter of this civil rights thing and to really like be sort of unyielding on it for a really long time and to see that it's made no difference in the world. To just throw your hands up. I mean, it's basically what happened to Magneto. So it doesn't seem like it's that out of line that he would just sort of just follow this path sort of blindly.
Yeah, especially when he's given the power to make the changes he's always wanted to see.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So in that sense, it's take it to its logical conclusion. If someone is corrupted by ultimate power, which we all know, like Nixon, corrupted absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, he's not Captain America, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
And that's actually what, to some people, might think makes him more interesting than Captain America, because you have that possibility of the fall.
Yep.
Whereas Steve Rogers is sort of one of the, you know, him and Superman are sort of the two characters where there's no possibility of the fall.
Yep.
I guess.
Yeah. So I get where you're coming from, but I'm not as far that far as you. You know, like I don't think he is completely beyond reproach. Like he's not totally pure, as we just discussed. So
was Nixon, though?
Come on, you know the answer to that.
I don't
even dignify that. So if you have a question, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. On to the voicemails. Our first voicemail has got a question about a popular creator who we haven't seen for a while.
Hi, fanboys. This is Dwight with from Chicago. My question is, Warren Ellis's Global Frequency is one of the few comics that I have ever reread two or three times. I just liked it that much. My question is there any other Warren Ellis books in that vein that you would recommend? Love the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Yes. Easily. I gotta say that Warren Ellis is probably one of the sort of modern comic characters. He's one of the guys who's of the most rereadable.
Especially during that early 2000s period of books.
Because a lot of his stuff stood on its own. We've all gone back and read, you know, Authority again. I've read through Transmetropolitan two or three times, and I got way more out of it in later readings than I did the first one.
I read Planetary at least twice. That period when he was doing Authority, Transmetropolitan, and Planetary. I didn't actually read Global Frequency, but the other those three, that was sort of his golden age in comics. That was the 2000 time.
Next Wave is a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I didn't actually like it the first time I read it. I went back.
Actually, it was a ton of fun.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of great work.
I bought a page from it.
That's true, you did.
He's due for some. I mean, he did the Secret Avengers thing recently, and that was great, but there's a little kind of one-shot stuff like that. He's due for something.
That was a toe in the water, though. I feel like he's kind of not into comics so much now.
Yeah.
Because he's a global superstar.
Shame.
So he just sort of blogs something.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he got those magazine columns. He's got a two-book deal. He's
All right. Our next voicemail is something that's always nice to hear.
Hey, guys. This is Rick from Minot, North Dakota. I am Spartacus on the forums and stuff. My job requires me to travel sometimes, so I'm just finishing up with like an 8-hour drive today. And I just wanted to thank you guys for keeping me company on the road. I've downloaded a bunch of your old podcasts, and you've kept me laughing and entertained and educated the entire way. So thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Bye.
I think the word that he used there, I think that's most relevant to this episode, was educate. And as his name is Rick, short for Richard. I think it's clear that the show is going to go more in this direction, where we pick a historical topic.
Integrated into really, the fabric of the show.
Yeah, and I mean, more and more. And I think that the people listening will be really excited for that, sort of the themes that we're going to be going. I think we've got the Mongolian steppe coming up, and then the horse archers.
Well, I'm preparing that show on Harding, Warren Harding.
Oh, that's a golden time in history.
That's really going to be riveting. Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, no, but
I took away from that sentiment, and I'm sorry.
Really did. No, but honestly, we often get a lot of voicemails, emails, and tweets and things like that of people thanking us and appreciating what we do. And I know we just had 350 and we got a lot of it there, but honestly, you know, it's nice. You guys keep us going, whether you believe it or not.
Most of you.
But so anyway, but thank you very much, Rick. It's always good to hear from you. And we hope you enjoy the future educational programming that we'll be providing as we evolve the show into more of a celebration of our country's history.
So. And eventually international. It's just sort
of the Mongolian steppes.
I've been working on my Charles de Gaulle thing for a while, and I think it's almost ready. I mean, I think.
Oh, I cannot wait to get into it on the Maginot Line with you.
Oh,
God, what a useless bunch of bunkers that was.
What if we don't finish it? Do you think the Germans will go around?
All right. So if you have
it should be fine.
If you have any questions about Nixon or anything else, you can call us on our voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. If this isn't enough iFanboy for you, we've got even more for you. On Mondays, you can download iFanboy Don't Miss. You can subscribe to it in iTunes or listen to it on iFanboy.com. This week, I'm talking to Grant Morrison about Happy Number One. I don't remember hearing Grant Morrison on an audio podcast ever. And I can't make that claim. I'm sure he's done it before, but we've never talked to him on an audio podcast before. So,
and if we haven't done it.
Yeah. Luckily enough, I'm putting on a convention with him, so I was able to get him on the phone.
I got to tell you, you went above and beyond to make this podcast happen.
Yeah, exactly. It really was a lot of work just to get a don't miss out of him, Ron. Yep.
It's about Happy Number One. But it was actually a really great conversation. Grant is really interesting always to talk to. And so for those of you who are curious about Happy Number One and can't go to Morrison Con, you can hear Grant talk about it on iFanboy Don't Miss. Comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, and you can also listen to the Make Comics podcast where I speak with Andy Schmidt of Comics Experience, former Marvel and IDW editor, tons of experience, and he helps people break into comics with his classes and such. So we try to give some wisdom out. A little help. So the Make Comics podcast comes out every Wednesday, and there should be another one this Wednesday. So it works out perfectly. Even if you're not interested in breaking in the industry, it's kind of fun to hear how stuff works.
It should be.
Well,
you leave it open. It's okay.
Make no promises.
Exactly.
That's one of the things that we've learned.
Yeah.
Both from history and from doing this for as long as we have. Because promises in podcasting.
There will be a new Makes Comics show, and there will be no new taxes.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and like Nixon promised we would get out, you know, I don't know, did he promise we'd get out of Vietnam or he didn't? I can't remember. Oh, I blew it. I'm sorry.
This weekend saw the release of Dread in the United States, so there'll be a Dread podcast right behind this one on your podcast aggregator or on fanboy.com. You can look for that, where some of us will talk about Dread. Who at this point? We're not sure. It's the time of recording, but we're going to talk about Dread. Ron saw it. He enjoyed it. So that's a little spoiler for you. And we'll be talking about that this weekend. Next week is Batman The Dark Knight Returns Part 1, the animated series. So the Animated Brain Trust will be reconvening to talk about that.
There will definitely be a Make Comics podcast this week.
All right. Cool.
What about taxes?
But no new taxes.
No, read my lips. Okay. And here we're getting into Bush territory. So.
I couldn't read your lips because you're in New Hampshire. I just was asking. Were you campaigning in New Hampshire? Are you starting early?
I got to tell you, I'll be glad when this election's over. There are a lot of signs.
A lot of signs.
I mean, I moved here for the scenery in part, and that is just wrecked.
Signs and portents.
Right. So you can find everything at iFanboy.com. You can find my Pick of the Week review on Little Depressed Boy. You can find all those podcasts we talk about, all the great articles and posts and stuff like that that happened throughout the week. Everybody's been great. And I totally script bombed myself.
No, on mine, I've got the little misspelling line under it, which gave it away.
Oh, and then I realized that I totally put it in there and then assigned it to myself. You see, that was a very Nixonian kind of move. He just set himself
self-sabotaging.
In that we're taping it.
Yeah, go follow us on twitter.com/ifanboy and on facebook.com/ifanboy.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or you can leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697 with any questions, comments, discussion topics. If there's a Nixon moment you particularly would like to sort of reminisce on or just, you know, it, for most of them, I want you to keep them to 30 seconds or so. But if you do have a Nixon moment, you get 5 to 8 minutes.
Wow.
And just, yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. That's what we want to hear, right?
True.
Yeah.
True.
So there it is.
And if you like us or Nixon or Harding or this or the Maginot Line or anything, any of those historical topics, write a review on iTunes. You can even tell us what historical topic you would like us to discuss next in your review, which we will take into account. Better than that, tell your friends about us. Introduce your mom to Nixon or comics or anything else she may not know about. Spread the word, fanboy word. Wow, you're all over the script bombing in the final part. Spread the fanboy word, which is not what the script says. I'll let that to your imagination. Wow.
All right. So I don't want to set myself up for failure like Nixon did, so end it now. So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh. I'm really looking forward to this Gangs of New York thing we're going to do.
It's going to be great.
Pleased to meet you. I'm New York.
I want to watch that now. And I'm just going to be disappointed by it again.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ifanboy.